Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, welcome to the show, folks. And one of the things that I wanted to do today was do my show a slightly different way. And what I wanted to do was, last week I had problems with my show. I was going into
using my microphone and everything, and now I'm using Bluetooth earpiece
with my phone. And I just got through eating spaghetti and got all kinds of crap in my throat right now. I had problems with my microphone last week, and it seemed the problems were only for a few minutes, but I didn't know that. It kind of sounded like somebody came on shortly after the second hour started and told me that my mic wasn't working well. I thought that it hadn't worked the whole show. It turns out it was only for just about two or three minutes. So not much was lost. My show was almost two and three quarters hours last week. But I ended up doing the last part of it on my Bluetooth, of which I now got a new one because the old one was kind of going in weird ways, the microphone wouldn't work at times and things like that. But I wanted to start today's show with my pastor, Keith Smotherman, who is the pastor of my church. He does a rant every week, and I'm going to try and get this every week. This is what he talked about yesterday.
Man, we've had a great weekend. We're going to continue to have a great weekend with this service, and God is truly moving, and people are getting touched and helped, and man, our worship team is absolutely outstanding. What you're going to witness and be a part of as they lead you into worship is going to be incredible. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for you, everybody online. Thank you so much. You know, we have people watching all over the United States and literally all over the world that watch our services now. And one of the reasons is because we took a stand, and people like it. It emboldens people when you take a stand. And there's a lot going on. And, the governor is hinting about locking us down again. And I just don't know why we would listen to that. And we, in Floyd, New Mexico, they made national news, by the way. Floyd did, because the Secretary of Education is getting up there saying how he dismissed the board of the school board there. They're elected officials. He has no authority to do that. And so they're going to take him to court. They're going to win, and they're going to lose, and the communists are going to lose once again from the Lujan regime. And we're gonna win. We're gonna be okay. Why? Because there are people praying like you and believing God. We're gonna be okay. But can I say this to you? We need to be informed. We need to all be informed. I went out to eat the other day, and a nice young man who's waiting on us, and he had his mask on. It was a place where if you didn't have a mask, you were vaccinated. If you wore a mask, then you weren't vaccinated. So I said, "So you're not vaccinated?" He said, "No, I'm fully vaccinated." And I said, "Well, I don't understand why you're wearing that." And he goes, "Well, it's the company policy we're going back to. Everybody has to wear them, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated." So I just looked at him. I said, "You know they don't work." And he said, "What?" I said, "You have read about it, right?" And he's like, "What?" And I said, can you smell the food? Because if you can smell the food, it's not working. And if you can smell smoke, if you can smell perfume or cologne, they don't work. The virus is so small, but yet people do things without reading or studying or looking it up or, trying to find out the other side. And here's the problem. Now if you question anything, you're a bad guy. If we question the governor, we're bad people. If we question all her questionable science, we're bad people. Folks, you and I have to be able to ask questions. That's part of our culture, part of America. We need to question everything. Because you can't believe the media. Hopefully no one believes. Fox, CNN, Newsmax, all of them. I don't believe any of them anymore, especially CBS, NBC, and ABC. They just, I don't know why we believe them. They push a narrative. If you question the narrative, then you're evil and you're wrong and something's wrong with you. Folks, we have to question. We have to question everything now that's being said, because a lot of what's being said is just not true. There's not one scientific study out there, not one. Not one that says mass work. They have a few studies that says maybe, might, could help, but that means it doesn't help. And I'm just not picking on that. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what piece of information they're regurgitating, we have to question it. We as believers need to be informed. And as believers, we need to process everything against the Word of God. In other words, they're saying this, what does the Word of God say? And whatever the Word of God says, that's what we go with. The Word of God says we're to gather, we're going to gather. So the governor, they say, is going to close down our state. I don't know if she will or not, but if she does, we're not closing down. So if you hear any rumors, the churches are closed. This church will be wide open. So you tell your friends, if their church closed, they come here. We're going to be wide open. We're going to be doing church just like we're doing it now. We're not going to change, not for her or anybody. Because I believe the word over anything else. And I'm going to be a doer of the word over anything else. And so hopefully you'll continue to be so too. So today we're going to worship our God freely and openly the way we want to worship him, the way he deserves to be worshiped, with honor and respect. Let's worship together.
Okay, that was my pastor of my church. what's been going on here in New Mexico? And most of my show today is going to be about New Mexico and the liberal states that are trying to push this whole thing on us. What is going on here is we've got a whole bunch of people who have been signing petitions against our governor, because New Mexico is not like California. We cannot impeach our governor to get her out of office. That's just not part of the law here in New Mexico. And the liberals have run this state for nigh on 90 some odd years now. And so they've got it set up so that it's really hard to get a sitting governor out of office. And this week what we have done, we've got petitions, and we had a thing going where you sent letters to the governor, to the state legislature, to the different parties of our government, to let them know that we are working to get her out of office. And one of the ways that in New Mexico you can do it is if you can get 2 to 5% of the voting population to sign a petition and do what we did this weekend, we can get a citizens grand jury to look into what she has done. And some of the things that she has done over the last 15 months, she has shut down and closed forever 40%, if not more, of our small businesses. And one of the things that happened, and I'll get to that in just a few seconds here, but like I said, that was the rant that my pastor at my church does every week, and I'm going to start trying to get that recorded so I can get that on my show, because every week he says something that really the people need to start listening, and we'll be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face, and then got out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
as one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
This last week, what happened was our tyrannical governor decided that any schools that were going to be opening up this fall, which is coming up just this next week or so, the school board and the students, and no matter what, was going to have to wear masks. Well, the Floyd Municipal School Board, which is a little bitty town here in New Mexico, decided they were not going to do it. And they went against the governor. And on Thursday, the Floyd Municipal School Board was removed in its entirety by the disgraced Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's New Mexico Public Education Department. They don't have the authority to do that, for one thing, because the school board was elected. And what's going on now is that they have now been taken off of their jobs illegally, but it really doesn't matter to our governor because she wants to rule the state with an iron fist. And she's not seeing that what's going on all over this nation, Hank in the chat room, we were discussing how the DOJ is not doing their job, and he says nor is the FBI or is Congress, nor is the Biden-Harris administration. And now they're talking about going back to the lockdowns. Well, that is what's coming up here in New Mexico. Our governor, our tyrant in Santa Fe, wants to lock us back down. And the people have had enough. We've already, like I said before, we've already lost over 40% of our small businesses here in New Mexico because of the lockdowns, that if they would have worked, this wouldn't be necessary. If they had worked. And since they didn't, essentially what has gone on is the government hitting us with these lockdowns and these mask mandates where you have to wear a mask to go into a store. And the things that I'm seeing now is just insane at best. The other day I was in Walmart, and almost everybody I saw walking into the store had a mask on, which is weird because you don't have to wear a mask here right at the moment. It's probably coming, but you don't have to wear a mask here. I was watching several people, and there was this lady who had four kids, probably aged from anywhere from 10 years old all the way down to probably 3 or 4 months. Every one of these kids had masks on. And the smallest one was being held by her mother. I feel sorry for these kids, because these kids are going to be feeling the effects of what their parents are doing to them, which is nothing more than child abuse. These kids are going to be feeling the health effects of this in the years to come. Yeah, yet Goldman Sachs, who is as in the tank for the big left as anyone in the media, claims we are 5.4% unemployment. No, we're not. one of the things that I have talked about since the beginning of this fake administration that we've got in there now, we were about, I think when Trump left office, somewhere around 5 to 6% unemployment. And as soon as he left office, Biden went in, shut down the border wall, which was had probably thousands and thousands of workers, shut down the gas, the pipeline, which had tens of thousands of workers. Here in New Mexico itself lost over 10,000 workers because of the things that Biden did, when there is no freaking way that unemployment is at 5.4% now. There is no way. And all you have to do is just listen to your minds, use your common sense, and you would see this. But it's like Hank in the chat room said, Goldman Sachs, who is as in the tank for the big left as anyone in the media, claims we are at 5.4% unemployment. Folks, 5.4% and down, all the way down to zero, is pretty much, if you want to think about it, pretty much as close to 100% employment as you can get. There is no freaking way that this nation is even close to 100% unemployment right now. There's no way. With all the people that have lost their jobs since Biden went into office, there is no way. There's been at least, you know, like I said, here in New Mexico, we lost 10,000 workers in the oil fields alone. And in New Mexico doesn't have that many people in it. It's a very sparsely populated state. And all of the people who were working on the Keystone Pipeline, they're all out of work now. There's just absolutely no reason for anyone to even think that we have got that close to 100% employment. I mean, this last 2 weeks ago, my wife lost her job. And the reasons for her losing her job were stupendous, if you want to use that term. Her bosses said she was doing things she wasn't. Her bosses were saying that she was not following the rules. She was. But her bosses were saying that she had been warned many times. She hadn't been. I mean, she worked right here from this desk that I'm on right now. I was here all day long. I knew exactly what she did. She had just gotten a raise and a promotion. but now she's out of work. And there are a lot of people here in New Mexico, here in Albuquerque, that I know that are out of work now because of Biden and what he is doing to our nation. And now we have people like Cuomo, who is being hit with these allegations of sexual abuse, and they've come up with these 11 women who they say are credible, yet Cuomo won't leave office. He needs to. And even Biden last week said Cuomo needs to leave office. But he said it in kind of a pansy way. But, you know, this whole idea that America is at 5.4% unemployment is insane. But going back to what I was talking about before, the school board in Floyd, on Monday, the school board voted to reaffirm its previous decision to allow students and parents to choose. Now, here's where it really gets weird, interesting. Our governor wants everything to be her way. She wants everybody to wear a mask no matter what. The school board, on the other hand, said they're refusing to comply with that. They said that if a person wants to wear a mask, go for it. But they are not going to mandate them. All of the school board members, Leon Nall, Jeffrey Essery, Vicki Bannister, Chelsea Lee, and Ryan Bolima, have been suspended. However, since they contend that the NMPED does not have the authority to do such a thing, you know, according to the state law, that ruling is invalid. KOB, the TV station here in Albuquerque, also noted that Damon Terry, who previously was put on administrative leave by the school board, was reinstated as superintendent by the NMPED, which they don't have the authority to do. But the PED takes its responsibility to ensure, and this is a quote from, Stewart, and I'm trying to find out who the heck he is, but says the PED takes its responsibility to ensure a safe and healthy environment for all staff and students incredibly seriously. Well, if they did, they would know that children are the least affected by this fake virus than any of us. And I've got something on that one after a little while, too. But I'm going to go to my next break right now, and then I'm going to go to some things with Tucker Carlson. He went to Hungary this week. We will be back to the next segment of NWCR Radio after these important messages. Stay tuned. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. CNM is trying to find new shows for the weekdays that are open. We have three shows now on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The open days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have a show that you are looking to air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like day that you want to be on, the time that you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. Okay, we are back. I was looking right now at the Pinion Post, which is a conservative paper here in New Mexico. There is only one that I've been able to find, so that's something else. But they had an article here about this school mask choice thing, and down in Alamogordo, which is on the south side of the state, on Sunday afternoon, hundreds filed into the Flickinger Center for Performing Arts in downtown Alamogordo for a forum put out by the Republican Party of Otero County regarding school mask choice. Speaking at the event was Congresswoman Yvette Harrell, who has been a one of those people who are speaking out against what is going on, especially down on our southern border. She told the crowd, quote, "I trust people of America and the people of New Mexico more than I trust our government." And for a representative who works for the government, that's a big thing to say. She went on to say, what happens now when we start complying with everything that the government says? Look, our democracy is under attack. This republic will not look the same if we don't stand up against the government on every single level and do what's right. She concluded with, so don't be disingenuous to our families who are quite capable of making decisions for their families. Don't be disingenuous to me, to my friends that are business owners, to my friends that live here. Don't be disingenuous to Americans, because we are stronger than that. And right now, our resolve is being tested to our faith and our faith in God. This is not a surprise to God. And let me tell you, in government, you've got great show ponies and you've got workhorses. Well, I'm proud to stand with all of you workhorses. The panelists included Republican New Mexico House Leader Jim Townsend of Artesia, State Senator David Gallegos, Republican of Eunice, and Attorney Robert Aragon, Dr. Roger Black, and Sarah Smith, a leader of the New Mexico Freedoms Alliance. Now, I think what our governor is going to be finding out real soon, if she doesn't back off of her policies, is that things are going to start going against her. This last year, she locked down the state. For 15 months, this state stayed locked down. And she even had it to where the churches were not allowed to hold services. The one that I used to go to, did just that. They shut down. They held online services to where you could get on your computer at home and you could listen to the service while you're at home. Well, if you're at home, I don't care who you are, you do not want to go to church. It's something that, as a Christian, if you're at home, you would rather do the things that you need to do at your home. And I know when I was not going to church because our church was closed, Sunday would come along and we would either sleep in or I would work to get my daily update for Monday going, but, you know, which I don't do anymore because I do my show on Monday. I've got an update for tomorrow that's already ready to go. And as soon as I get through with this show, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But the thing that's going on here is that even New Mexico is starting to rise up. And New Mexico has been liberal for 92 years or so. Like I said before, we do not have the kind of law that California does where they could impeach their governor. We cannot. That is not something that is part of the New Mexico law. But when it comes to the school board down in Alamogordo, the leader, Townsend, said the school board's responsibility is to set a platform so each and every one of those children can flourish and to their God-given abilities. Senator Gallegos added, if we don't do what we need to do right now, we will never recover this state. And that is the thing that we have to start looking at here, folks. It's not just affecting New Mexico. It's affecting New Mexico bad because we're a poor state anyway. But it's affecting the whole of the United States. And we have to start looking at what is going on before we lose this great nation. And that is exactly what the Democrats are in the process of doing right now. They want to destroy this nation. Now, what I had said that before the break was that I was going to go to a couple of audios with Tucker Carlson in Hungary, and here they are.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Tucker Carlson Tonight. We're coming to you from Budapest. Earlier this week, we traveled to the southern tip of Hungary along the Serbian border. It was at that spot 6 years ago that hundreds of thousands of migrants from North Africa and the Middle East showed up, all hoping to reach the famously generous welfare states of Western Europe. And yet by the time we arrived at that same border on Wednesday, all was quiet and peaceful. There was no suffering, mass of humanity, no crying children, no graffiti or trash or violence. In fact, there was just a simple chain-link fence separating the two countries and nobody in sight, just birds and trees. So how did this happen? It happened because Hungary is a serious and modern country that cares about its own citizens. Hungary has no desire to destroy itself, no desire to encourage crime and misery and unemployment in its cities, or for that matter, no desire to contribute to the human trafficking of people fleeing from Syria. When illegal aliens arrive at the Hungarian border now, they are photographed and then they're politely escorted back across the line. The whole process takes about half an hour. It is the most civilized thing we have seen in years. And as we watched it, we thought to ourselves, why can't we have this in America? The answer, as you know, is because our leaders don't want to have it. They benefit from the chaos and the pain of illegal immigration. When the rule of law collapses, they become more powerful. That's why we have open borders.
And that's why we have the leaders we have. They want to push on all of us the fact that they're in charge. We are not. The leaders that we have in this nation today have lost all semblance of what the Constitution says they are to us. The leaders we have today think that they are in charge. Try and take Nancy Pelosi out of her position and give her a downgrade and listen to what that woman has to say about how hard she worked to get where she is, being the highest paid woman in our government. She should be given a serious cut in pay, as should be, Schumer, as should Waters, as should AOC, as should Rashida Tlaib and Anaya Pressley and Biden and Harris and all of them, and take it all the way down to the states with Grisham, Whitmer, Cuomo, Newsom. All of these people need to have their pay cut drastically, because I don't know that I, for one, am one American who is tired as hell of having to pay for the salaries of these people who do not care what it is to serve America and serve Americans. Here is the second part of that that I just started.
Hungary is a small country in the middle of Central Europe. It has no navy. It has no nuclear weapons. Its GDP is smaller than New York State. So you wouldn't think leaders in Washington would pay a lot of attention to Hungary, but they do, obsessively. By rejecting the tenets of neoliberalism, Viktor Orban has personally offended them and enraged them. What does Viktor Orban believe? Just a few years ago, his views would have seemed moderate and conventional. He thinks families are more important than banks. He believes countries need borders. For saying these things out loud, Orban has been vilified. Left-wing NGOs have denounced him as a fascist, a destroyer of democracy. Last fall, Joe Biden suggested he's a totalitarian dictator. Official Washington despises Viktor Orban so thoroughly that many, including neocons in and around the State Department, are backing the open anti-Semites who are running against him in next April's elections in Hungary. We've watched all of this from the United States, and we've wondered if what we've heard could be true. So this week, we came to Hungary to see for ourselves. We sat down with Orban for a couple of long conversations, including one this morning. In a moment, we'll show you some of that, and you can make up your own mind about it. But first, a word about Hungary. Even if you understand that the American news media lie, it is always bewildering to see the extent of their dishonesty. Nothing prepares you for it. We've read many times how repressive Hungary is. Freedom House, an NGO in Washington that's funded almost exclusively by the U.S. government, describes Hungary as much less free than South Africa, with fewer civil liberties. That's not just wrong, it's insane. In fact, if you live in the United States, it is bitter to see the contrast between, say, Budapest and New York City. Let's say you lived in a big American city and you decided to loudly and publicly attack Joe Biden's policies, his policies on immigration or COVID or transgender athletes. If you kept talking like that, you would likely be silenced by Joe Biden's allies in Silicon Valley. If you kept it up, you might very well have to hire armed bodyguards. That's common in the U.S. Ask around. But it's unknown in Hungary. Opposition figures here don't worry that they will be hurt for their opinions. Neither, by the way, does the prime minister. Orban regularly drives himself with no security. So who's freer? In what country are you more likely to lose your job for disagreeing with the ruling class's orthodoxy? The answer is pretty obvious, though if you're an American, it is painful to admit it, as we have discovered. With that, here's Viktor Orban. His accent's pretty thick, but his English is precise. He's worth hearing. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you very much. So in 2015, hundreds of thousands of migrants appear on your southern border. They appear all over Europe. They stream into Germany. The rest of the EU says, welcome, please come. We can handle it. We're strong enough. Hungary stands alone in saying no. Why? Why did you take a different position on my...
Swish this sour liquid in your mouth before bed to regrow teeth and gums while you sleep. Scientists at the...
...migration from other European countries.
That was the only reasonable behavior. If somebody without getting any permission on behalf of the Hungarian state cross your border, you have to defend your country and to say, guys, stop. And if you would like to cross or you would like to come, there's a legal procedure, we have to do it. But you can't cross, you know. without any kind of limitation and permission and any contribution and control of the Hungarian state. It's dangerous. You have to defend your people against any danger.
And you think you have a right to do that?
Of course. It's got from the. It's coming from the God, the nature, so all arguments with us. Because this is our country, this is our population, this is our history, this is our language, so we have to do that. Of course, if you are in trouble and there is nobody closer to you than the Hungarians, you have to be helpful. But you can't say simply that, okay, it's a nice country, I would like to come here and to live here because it's a nicer life. This is not a human right to come here. No way, because it's our land. It's a nation, it's a community, families, history, tradition, language.
Saying what you just said, which I think will seem obvious to a lot of our viewers, was very offensive to a lot of countries in Western Europe, to their leaders.
Because the many European countries decided to open a new chapter of their own history of the nation. They call it a new society, which is a post-Christian, post-national societies. They believe firmly that if different communities, even huge number of, let's say, Muslim communities, and the original inhabitant, let's say, Christian communities, are mixed up, the outcome of this will be good. There is no answer whether it will be good or bad, but I think it's very risky. And the chance that it will be not good, but it will be very bad, is obvious. And each nation has the right to take this risk or to reject this risk. We Hungarians decided not to take that risk, to mix up our society. That's the reason why they attacked Hungary so harshly, and that's the reason why my personal reputation is very bad. You know, I'm treated like the black sheep of the European Union personally, and sometimes Hungary as well, unfortunately.
So it has been 6 years since Germany, since Angela Merkel made the decision to let many hundreds of thousands of migrants into her country.
Millions,
non-German speakers, mostly Muslim. What have the effects been in Germany?
You know, diplomacy is
requires
some bad behavior, but it was their decision. They took the risk, and now they got what they have deserved. That's their life. I would not like to make any categories to describe what was the outcome of their decision. I only insist on that the Hungarians have the right to make our own choice.
You first became famous in the late 80s as a student, as one of the leaders against Soviet occupation of Hungary, and you were a hero to many in the United States, and at the time during the Cold War we paid close attention to Hungary. I think the U.S. government was on your side, you were on the side of the U.S. government. So 30 years later, Joe Biden, while running for president last year on ABC News, described you, suggested that you were, and I'm quoting, a totalitarian thug.
You see what's happened in everything from Belarus to Poland to Hungary, and the rise of totalitarian regimes in the world, and as well as this president embraces all the thugs in the world.
Is that bewildering for you to see the change, and how do you respond to that characterization?
So first of all, the reaction of that kind of opinion here in Hungary is always not very polite, but you think, who is that guy to say that? Then we say, okay, he's the president of the United States, so we should take it seriously. But anyway, somebody who does not speak our language has a very limited knowledge on Hungary, even in the recent several decades of our life, not understanding us, obviously. Having an opinion like that, you know, it's by itself, it's a personal insult for all the Hungarians. But because he is the president of the United States, we have to be very modest. We have to be very respectful, and we have to make a lot of things to clarify that what he is doing is rather a fake.
Okay. You know, what that man has to say about Biden actually shows a lot of class. Now, Biden called him a thug. The reason why Biden called him a thug is because this man who is running Hungary, the way a nation should be run, is keeping out people who do not belong in Hungary. He is keeping his people safe, two things that Biden will not do. But they are also two things that Biden should be doing to keep the American people safe. There are just a couple of jobs that the president really has. And one of them is to keep the American people safe. Biden has been totally derelict in that duty. And as that goes, Obama was very derelict in that duty. One of the things that has been going on lately, and I have talked about this on my shows lately, and I call it shows because essentially every day that I don't do a show except for Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I do a daily update, which is a video update. And I have been talking about the things that Biden is doing to this nation. I have been talking about the things that our tyrannical governor here in New Mexico is doing to this state. These are things that these people do not want anyone to know. But the problem comes in the fact that there is history on this. It has been proven over and over again what the Democrats are after. It's like all summer long last year, we had the Democrats calling for defunding the police. Now, about a month ago, the Democrats started finding out that defunding the police was not a good idea. All of a sudden, they realized their actions were not good for this country. Their actions were not good for their cities. The mayors of Chicago and Portland and several of the other cities have found out that trying to defund their police has caused them all kinds of problems, and they have gone to the federal government to ask for assistance. They shouldn't get this assistance, folks. That's coming out of our money that we give to the government to do the right thing. This whole idea that the government should bail out these cities like Minneapolis and Chicago and Portland is ludicrous because they are the ones who caused their problems. But that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends at all, folks. Where it's ending, and it's coming up on this now, and it's already been hit several times, is the Democrat Party is now trying to tell all of us that, no, it wasn't them who was calling for defunding the police. It was the Republicans. No. The Republicans were against that one from day one. Every Republican that has any sense of value was telling everyone, defund the police? No, don't do that. You will cause problems that you will be hard-pressed to get rid of. And with Portland, they went so far as to defund the police, move them out of the downtown area, and let the rioters take over. Is that a good thing? No, it's not. But the Democrats are finally starting to realize this. And I think even here in New Mexico, that, like I said, has been a Democrat state for 90-some years now, they're starting to find out that, hey, their policies are not good for this state, and the people are getting sick and tired of it. This whole thing with this sending out the certified letters with the COD returns and stuff like that for it that went to the governor and the state legislature, the Speaker of the House, and the pro temp of the Senate and to the Attorney General. Many, 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 many of those were sent out. And the petition, when I finally got to sign the thing on Sunday at my church, the petition was, it was huge. There were so many signatures on it that I had troubles believing it. And what's going on now is the fact that now the governor is going to be finding out that the people are not happy with what she is doing. But she continues it. It's like I had said, you know, hundreds attend the Alamogordo Forum about school mask choice. She is pushing school mask again. Albuquerque commenters overwhelmingly reject Keller, who is our mayor. He put in a $50 million New Mexico United Stadium boondoggle. Albuquerque commenters overwhelmingly rejected that. New Mexico now is trying to redistrict the state so that there will be fewer conservative areas in the state. And then on top of that, our governor, MLG, applauded the University of New Mexico for forcing vaccines on all faculty, staff, and students. Folks, she's not backing off any. But I know that she's feeling the heat. I know she's feeling the heat. And then there was another article just the other day on the 6th that said, take action. Contact New Mexico school boards and urge them to pass mask choice resolutions. This goes completely against our governor. This goes completely against our tyrant in Santa Fe, who wants to make sure everybody is masked up, including the little babies who have absolutely no fear of catching COVID. There was a thing that I'm probably going to end my show with today, with my 8th audio that I have. And it's from Dr. Jane Ruby, who has come out and said, yes, COVID is a fake virus. It's nothing more than a cold, a flu that shut down everybody. And what we are doing here, folks, we are just allowing our government to destroy this great nation. And that's one of the reasons why this show actually exists. I don't get that many listeners. One of these days, though, I know I'm going to say something or have the right person on, and things will begin to happen. Now, it's like I've said, I've done this show since about 2006. I've been on several networks. I've been on Conservative Nation Media twice. Once as a new member, a new show among many shows. And this last time as the owner of Conservative Nation Media. I want to see if I can get this network to be able to be on terrestrial radio, if I can possibly do it. I am right now looking to see if I can get my show onto KIVA radio here in Albuquerque. I'm not sure how I'm going to manage that one. But I do have the experience. I've been doing this show for quite a long time now, and I do it without the help of anybody else. I'm the one who puts all this together. And we have two other shows, Black by Color Only on Saturday and American by Design, who didn't air yesterday because his father, I think is what he said, his wife's father was in the hospital and gravely ill. Not much time left for him, it seems. we have been dealing with this all week. Well, so he didn't do his show yesterday, and I can understand this. I really can. It's like I have said before, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again and again. Family is important. I have no fears that Bing will quit his show. All of our members of the shows that we do here on Conservative Nation Media are very strong in their conviction of what it takes to help America. And this thing that I want to play later on in the show is with this Dr. Jane Ruby, who provides the official FOIA links showing that the COVID-19 virus is a complete hoax. And I found this on the Stu Peters show out of Canada, something that I had found, I got something from his show last week. And the things that are going on in this nation right now, we have people telling us, it's like with me, with YouTube, all it takes is three strikes within a short period of time to have them say, okay, sayonara, bye. I've been on YouTube for about 8 or 9 years now. Last month, at the beginning of the month, I got hit with a strike where I got knocked off of YouTube for a week. Because I said something that went against their sensibilities. It didn't matter what I said, that what I had said was true. It just went against their liberal sensibilities. So they shut me down. And then as soon as I got back on, I said something else that was true and backed up by science, but they gave me my second strike. And as soon as I got back on this week, the one that I did on Friday, I put on YouTube on Saturday. And it's all about the Muppets and what Disney has done to the Muppets. How now Gonzo, who is a male from outer space somewhere, is now Princess Gonzarella. Folks, this whole idea that you can get knocked off of social media for telling the truth is a very real thing here in America. It's a very real thing, and it's happening all the time. Now, I'm not exactly sure why YouTube didn't knock me off and just delete my account like they said they were going to if I got hit with another strike. Because I went all gung-ho on them and talked about how all of this homosexuality and transgender crap goes against God and the teachings of the Bible. And it does. All you have to do is read the Bible, know what God is telling you, and you will know without a doubt that what is going on today makes a bad person out of the ones of us who actually will tell the truth. And when Hank Jones was in our chat room a little while ago, he was talking about how about the DOJ to the SCOTUS? Don't interfere. And I said, right now the DOJ is not doing their job. And he came back with, nor is the FBI, nor is Congress, nor is the Biden-Harris administration, and now they're talking about going back to lockdowns? Then he came back and said, yet Goldman Sachs, who is as in the tank for the big left as anyone in media, claims we are at 5.4% unemployment. No, we're not. Those are all lies there. They are all lies. We are not at 5.4% unemployment. If we were at 5.4% unemployment, folks, we would be almost at 100% or as close to 100% as is possible. But he went on to say, how can we be at 5.4% unemployment if we only have recovered 75% of the jobs lost over the last year? And it's like I said, over the last year, 40% of the small businesses in the whole state of New Mexico have gone under. They'll never return. And yet our governor, yet our tyrant in Santa Fe wants to continue with her policies. And then he said, this administration lies about economic humblers, economic numbers, worse than the Obama administration ever did. And that is saying something. Yes, it is. The Obama administration couldn't tell the truth if their lives depended on it. And this fake administration that we've got now that cheated their way into the White House couldn't tell the truth if their lives depended on it. We are at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Hanner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. Glad that I was able to get this show on tonight, because there's been so many things going on here in New Mexico that and around this nation, tell you the truth, that really have put a kibosh on a lot of these things that I want to do. But what is going on now is this article that I just found from Western Journal. It says, for months, supporters of Donald Trump have eagerly awaited word on whether the former president will throw his hat in the ring in 2024 among a sure-to-be long line of Republican elites. Well, the last time he ran, there was a long line of Republican so-called elites. So far, we've heard a few hints that he just might, including word from his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, in a Newsmax interview, that Trump recently met with his 2024 cabinet to judge the field he might face. The breadcrumbs the Trump team is dropping aren't enough to keep us completely satisfied, but a former White House press secretary in the Trump administration just offered one that might tide us over for a while. The Washington Examiner reported Friday that Sean Spicer had good news for Trump supporters. He's in, Spicer said during a preview interview of his upcoming book, Radical Nation, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Dangerous Plan for America. He said Trump is troubled about the Biden administration's continual failures, especially concerning illegal immigration, an issue that helped propel Trump to victory in 2016. And it was the lies and the cheating that took him out. Spicer said President Joe Biden's shortcomings are a source of inspiration for Trump and have prompted him to look beyond the 2022 midterm elections, during which he plans to be a kingmaker. It's no secret. Biden's failures not only reflect poorly on his administration, but also invite voters to consider a plethora of what-ifs, prompting them to consider how differently things might be unfolding if the nation's leadership were still in Trump's hands. But even more, it's important to consider that just what Trump's presence in the GOP primary field might mean for other top Republicans, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, an emerging favorite among conservatives. And in this thing, they asked the question, as they always do, they have a little poll thing, says, do you think Trump will run in 2024? And 95% of the people who answered voted yes, 5% said no. But it said Trump established a strong base in 2016 and 2020, so any potential 2024 run would most likely reel these voters back in, not to mention the fact that he's staying in the spotlight more or less intentionally. Spicer told the Examiner that Trump, quote, has banked $102 million, lost weight, and has kept his approval ratings high, unquote. It sounds like a lot like the former president is eager to remove the former from his title. We can't say for sure, but it won't be shocking if Trump announces he's decided to take another swing at the presidency. For some voters, the idea of a Trump 2024 run began days after the November election. It's just as pollster John McLaughlin said, according to the Examiner, the more Biden fails, the better President Trump looks. And on that one, that is so true. Are we going to see a Trump renaissance in 2024, a red wave that washes Biden out of the White House? It's like it likely boils down to how well the GOP can frame the timeless debate question posed by Ronald Reagan during his campaign in 1980. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And on that one, folks, I have to say, if he runs again, I will vote for him. We have got, there's one of the things that's going on in this nation right now is that with all of this talk about cheating in the last election and all of this talk about how the voting machines were not right. There was an article I found yesterday that talked about how thousands of voting machines had modems bought for them, which right there should tell you cheating happened. Voting machines, folks, are not supposed to be online. So if they're not online, why did they get 20,000 modems in January of 2020? Why? Modems put these machines online. By law, they're not supposed to be. That right there is an offense against our elective system, and it goes completely against the rules, which means that the election should have not been tallied. These machines should not be online, but if they've got 20,000 modems for these machines, Dominion did, why are we still saying that Biden won the election? He didn't. And that's just the way things are. I have to say, folks, if the election had gone the other way and the Democrats had found out that modems had been bought to be put on the voting machines, all hell would have broken loose. The Democrats would not have allowed it. So my question on this one is, why have the Republicans allowed this? One of the things that I keep asking about is that they impeached Trump for made-up crap. They impeached Trump 3 times on made-up crap. But the Republicans are holding the whole in the palm of their hands, holding all of this evidence of what the Democrats did to cheat their way into the White House. And what are the Democrats doing, or what are the Republicans doing? They're sitting on their freaking hands not doing a damn thing. Now, there are a few, Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, Lorena Boebert out of Colorado, Yvette Harrell here in New Mexico. All of these people are pushing this country in the right direction. But the rest of the Republicans are sitting there allowing the Democrats to push it in the other direction. This is insane, folks. This is crazy. This nation is the greatest nation this world has ever known. We have to say this. We have to say it more and more often. We have to say it every day. This nation was formed with the help and divine intervention of God. This nation is the greatest nation this world has ever seen. Yet all we are hearing from our Republicans, who are part of the elite of the Republican GOP party, is that it's in the past. Let it go. There's no reason to fight it because there's no reason to fight it.
You are listening to NWCR Radio, where the truth rings free with the voice of reason in this very unreasonable world.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Okay, we are back. The caller number is 646-478-5284. I know I have not given it tonight. I've got so much information here on today's show that it's really hard to take phone calls, but that's just the way it is. Mark Levin, this last week, did an epic rant, kind of like what my pastor does, but this one was done by Mark Levin on the impeachment of Biden. Give a listen to this.
Let me just address this. Joe Biden is the most disastrous president in modern American history. I don't care if it's by design or by the fact that he's dim-witted. It doesn't much matter to me. It would be like a president when we have a polio vaccine telling everybody to get vaccinated but inviting people into the country who he knows has polio. No president has ever done this to his own people. This guy is a coward. He buckles to the radical left in his party. He's a fool. The idea that people who are vaccinated are the ones who are going to be punished, it's like the gun owners who are law-abiding are the ones who are going to be punished, it's like the successful people in this country, they're the ones they intend to punish with the tax code. Is there anything going right in this country? Gasoline prices going up, food prices going up, anything going right on this country? The border wide open. You're going to have people flooding into our school districts, flooding into our hospitals. Law enforcement is overwhelmed. Towns are overwhelmed. And let me tell you why he's doing it. Let's be blunt. He wants to turn Texas blue. He wants to turn Arizona blue. This street politician from Wilmington, Delaware, the dumbest man to ever serve in the Senate, the dumbest man to ever be vice president, is now the dumbest man to ever be president. He's got a massive ego. He's a narcissist. He wants to go down in history as the greatest president. He's going to go down in history as the greatest disaster. He's doing more to weaken this country than the communist Chinese could ever pray to do. He could ever pray to do. And moreover, he's justified a federal statute, a Supreme Court decision. He knows that the CDC doesn't have the power to extend these moratoriums on rent. He says, we're going to do it anyway, because he listens to this Harvard Emeritus professor, Lawrence Tribe. He's just violated the federal Constitution. Now, let me say this. I brought this up on my radio show last week. Republicans, have you ever heard of the word impeachment? Are you guys going to go down to the border and whine yourselves to death? I know you're not in the majority, but you need to start explaining to the American people. This man just violated a Supreme Court decision. This man is the border wide open in violation of our immigration laws. I mean, you impeach Donald Trump when he's out of office because of a letter. You set up a phony incitement insurrection. This man is doing enormous damage to this country. People with the virus. He knows they have the virus. His government knows they have the virus. They're pushing them into the interior of the country. Now, what kind of a president does that to his own people? If he's not at least going to look out for the health and safety of the American people, then he needs to be removed. I know who's behind him. But the point is, that's what impeachment is for. Not for the Democrats to chase every Republican president, but to get rid of this guy. He is a disaster. And again, I don't care if he's dim-witted or just stupid. It doesn't much matter. To allow people into this, first of all, to tell law-abiding Americans you're going to wear a mask even though you've been vaccinated. Little kids who do not give the virus or get the virus. You're going to be wearing masks because the NEA and the AFT told me to do so. Isn't it time to remove this, well, isn't it time to remove this guy from the Oval Office or at least make an effort? So you tough guy Republicans who come on here, you tough guy Republicans on radio, how about it? The I word, impeachment, let's start to talk about it. Or the 25th Amendment, it'll never happen, but let's start to talk about it. He's doing more damage to this country as far as I'm concerned than any single one of our enemies. That's it.
Exactly. And what Mark Levin said there is exactly the truth. Biden and Harris, Pelosi and Newsom and Cuomo and Grisham and Whitmer, all of these people are doing more damage to this country, and they all need to be impeached, especially Biden. And you want to have proof about what is going on? Take a look at Chicago this weekend. 73 shot in Chicago, 10 killed over the weekend. 73 shot, folks. Albuquerque right now is at an all-time high when it comes to homicides in this city. The all-time high when it comes to homicides in this city is 81. Yesterday, this city hit 81. And we've still got 5 months left in this year. This year will most likely be the first year that Albuquerque has hit 100 when it comes to killings in this city. And it's because of Keller, who is a Democrat. It is because of Grisham, who is a Democrat. It is because of Jacob Candelaria, who is a Democrat. It is because of all the Democrats in this state who constantly think that what they do is for the good of this state. No, it's not. They're tearing this state to pieces. They are destroying this state. And then on top of that, here we have with Chicago. A total of 73 people were shot in Chicago over the weekend, folks, with 10 murders recorded. The Chicago Police Department said on August 9th, approximately 45 shootings took place between August 6th at 6 p.m. and August 8th at 11:59 p.m., according to CPD officials. The shootings left 63 people injured and 10 dead in the third largest city in the United States. 9 other shootings took place in the city on August 6th before 6 p.m. And this is according to incident reports compiled by the CPD. In one incident, a 29-year-old female police officer identified as Ella French was gunned down during a traffic stop on August 7th. A second officer on the scene was left injured. It was the first time since 2018 that a Chicago police officer was fatally shot in the line of duty. But it's not going to be the last time, because we have a mayor, Lori Lightfoot, a Democrat, who said during a press conference on August 8th, we have a common enemy. It's the guns and the gangs. No, it isn't. It's not the guns. It may partially be the gangs, because the city is not doing anything to stop illegal gun work, gunfare in that city. It's the same thing as here in New Mexico, in Albuquerque here. They hit 81 homicides this year. That is the most that has ever happened in a whole year here. They're not doing anything about it. They're not doing anything to stop it. They're not doing anything to put a halt to it. They're just saying, ooh, look, another killing. I guess we have a common enemy. It's guns. We got to get rid of the guns. Never any thought to the point that if you make guns illegal, law-abiding people will follow that. They will get rid of their guns. The people who are breaking the law, they never will. They will have guns, and it'll leave the population defenseless. That is where the Democrats have it wrong. To them, the common enemy is guns, when it should be criminals with guns. But with them, all it is just guns. Doesn't matter if the person who has the gun is law-abiding or not. Take it away from them. Get rid of the guns all total. I know we can't. And here's Lori Lightfoot. She's just there. We have a common enemy. It's guns and gangs. So if we get rid of all the guns, take the guns away from all of the law-abiding people, no one will have guns. Except maybe the illegals or the people who are criminals who don't follow laws and all of that stuff. They never stop to think that taking guns away from law-abiding people who actually would help the city keep the laws. No, she wants to take the guns away from them. The people who would actually help the city, they want to take the guns away from them. And that's exactly what's going on here in New Mexico, in Albuquerque. They want to take the guns away from law-abiding citizens. They know they can't do anything when it comes to taking guns away from the criminals, because criminals don't follow the laws after all. They just want to take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens. Make guns illegal, law-abiding citizens will give up their guns because they follow the laws. But mark my words, If that kind of argument hits here in Albuquerque, to where law-abiding people will have to get rid of their guns, the record that's going to be set this year in homicides here in Albuquerque is going to be nothing compared to what's coming. And we have to start following our common sense on this. One of the things that I wanted to talk about here was socialism. Socialism is communism, and here's a good explanation of this.
So why has it been so easy for them to get people on the left who aren't communists to push forward their agenda? Once I looked at the political scale, it all started to make sense. On the far left, you have 100% government, and on the far right, zero government. Anarchy is no government and doesn't make sense at all. On the far left, you have socialism, communism, and Nazism, all systems that have a socialist form of government with only slight variances between them. Traditionally, Republicans were slightly to the right of center, and Democrats were slightly to the left. In recent years, though, through the radical influence of the media, Hollywood, and the multitude of Marxist professors in our universities, both parties have slid to the left, with the Democrats going so far, they have openly joined hand in hand with the radicals. That's why they all work together. All the groups on the left now have the same goal, a socialist America.
I thought we were over communism. I thought, okay, we won that battle. The Berlin Wall came down. Ronald Reagan won the day. We've got to look and see how he fought this, because we're fighting it again on American soil. Not hostily attacking us like we feared in the Cold War. It is from within.
Yes, and that is exactly it. What we have coming, folks, the Democrats are pushing socialism. Socialism is the first step towards communism, and I'll get back on that after these messages. Be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Before
the break, I played a small clip about socialism is communism. Well, I'm going to play that again because the next clip that I have actually follows that one. So here's that one again.
So why has it been so easy for them to get people on the left who aren't communists to push forward their agenda? Once I looked at the political scale, it all started to make sense. On the far left, you have 100% government, and on the far right, zero government. Anarchy is no government and doesn't make sense at all. On the far left, you have socialism, communism, and Nazism, all systems that have a socialist form of government with only slight variances between them. Traditionally, Republicans were slightly to the right of center, and Democrats were slightly to the left. In recent years, though, through the radical influence of the media, Hollywood, and the multitude of Marxist professors in our universities, both parties have slid to the left, with the Democrats going so far, they have openly joined hand in hand with the radicals. That's why they all work together. All the groups on the left now have the same goal, a socialist America.
I thought we were over communism. I thought, okay, we won that battle. The Berlin Wall came down. Ronald Reagan won the day. We've got to look and see how he fought this because we're fighting it again on American soil, not hostilely attacking us like we feared in the Cold War. It is from within.
Okay, here's the rest.
Almost 1.5 billion people still live in openly communistic countries. But unfortunately, most of us in America who are under the age of 50 have no idea what communism means to the people who live under it. So my next question was, what's so bad about communism?
Communism is so evil.
It's a completely tyrannical system. The whole history of communism is one of mass murder. Tens of millions of people brutally murdered by the communists.
The mass murder of more people in times of peace than all the wars of history combined. Each of those countries where they have taken control, millions have been murdered.
When you're asking for what is the legacy of Marxism, it is the greatest killing machine in all of human history.
We're talking a congressional record, 135 million dead due to communism. I think the real number is probably, when you add in abortions, over 500 million. The rulers lived rather well, and at the same time, you had all kinds of people who were enslaved, put in prison, oppressed. So you had the opposite of what they claimed was going to be the result of their revolutionary activities.
You would think that if the 20th century was the most murderous of centuries, everyone would say, let's find out why. And the truth is, can't even ask the question. It is verboten to ask the question because the ideas that brought about that mass murder are still being taught in our public schools today.
I think one of the reasons this has happened is because there's so much confusion surrounding the word communism. Technically speaking, communism is simply the final phase and goal of socialism. And socialism is best described by two words, big government. Government controls almost everything, and they use this power to take things by force from one person and give it to another. The liberals in America sincerely believe that this isn't evil at all. It is what will finally make things fair and just. There's only one problem that pulls some of us away from this wonderful utopian vision. History. From history, we see that whether it was Hitler's National Socialism or Stalin's Soviet Socialism, socialism, by whatever name and in all its forms, is the ultimate evil. Sooner or later, it destroys everything in its path. Law, morality, family, prosperity, productivity, education, incentives, and finally life itself. The problem with socialism is that it creates the conditions for a Stalin or a Hitler to come to power. And that's why communism has such relevance today. It's the final destination on the road we're traveling.
Okay. Now, this article, or this thing that I just got through playing, was done by a former GOP representative out of Idaho. And he did a lot of research on that, on what was going on, and what we have to watch for, and what we have to do. And what I had found, and I'm trying to find it again here, but one of the people that was on that was a man called James Simpson, who has written himself a book, and the book is called Who Was Karl Marx? The Man, the Motives, the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. And the article that came, that I found on this, was titled Marxism 101, What It Is and How It Is Working in Our Culture Today. And the article first starts off with, in a must-see episode of Counterpunch, which is on Epic TV, which is part of Epic Times, author and speaker Trevor Loudon enlightens his audience on the roots of Marxism in many of the cultural and political events of today, and the end game behind it all. The end game, people, my friends, is to destroy this nation. He makes the case that America is in a revolution, and the American people need to understand the nature of what they are up against. If we do understand, we have a fighting chance, he says. He provides several resources and reading material to understand the communist movement happening in the United States, from the information war to cultural Marxism, even to the drug problem in America and the communist players behind it. He also offers an extremely informative review of Jim Simpson's book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. In this 135-page book, which Loudon touts as very well written and entertaining, Simpson breaks down the ideologies at work in our culture today and helps us connect the dots so we can fight back. And fight back we must, folks, for anyone concerned about race riots, political correctness, election integrity, cancel culture, and all the other events currently wreaking havoc on our society. This book lays all these issues out and allows the reader to connect the dots in a very short period of time and understand the phenomenon that is threatening to destroy everything that we hold dear. Loudon assures his listeners that for beginners and experts alike, every reader will learn from this book. In his book, Simpson delves into Karl Marx, the nature of the man, his background, and his religious evolution. He touches on the satanic roots behind communism, what Karl Marx's character was, his dysfunctional family, the general malicious hatred. Readers will learn where Marx first got his ideas, how they developed, and how they manifest themselves today. Simpson also provides a history of those who came after Marx, exposing other influential characters in Marxism, such as Sergei Negev, a Russian revolutionary who, next to Marx, was one of the most influential people in the Marxist movement. Negev's writings were a favorite of the Black Panthers and continue to hold influence in other groups today. The premise of his work was how to destroy a society, believing that to bring a man to paradise on earth, you must have to make things so miserable and reduce humanity to such a mess and state of distress that they will revolt and establish a socialist paradise. The idea is that to make a man infinitely happy, you first have to make him infinitely miserable. Loudon explains how so much happening right now culturally in the United States is intended to create chaos and misery and destruction, because to a Marxist, it's only through those things that they can theoretically make things better. These beliefs hold in stark contrast to the Western traditional Christian Judeo view, which is that working on oneself and one's surroundings to make things better all the time eventually makes people happier and the world a better place. Marxists have the opposite view. They believe humanity and society is corrupt, and only by destroying everything around them and bringing man to a state of misery and poverty can they establish the society they desire. Loudon also lays out how the Marxist movement does not actually believe that they will make things better for the common man, but rather the people at the top of this movement see the common man only as a means to their goals. Knowing the peasants won't get paradise, they hold to the belief that, at least perhaps, the leaders will get what they want through money, power, and luxuries, while knowing full well that the peasants were simply a means to that end and would never achieve those things for themselves. This episode also gives shocking insight into how communists establish front organizations all over Europe and the United States in a move in the movie industry, education, etc., displaying the fruits of cultural Marxism all around us today. The idea historically was that workers wouldn't support communism because they were too indoctrinated by the state, the church, and culture. In order to get the working people on board, the communists had to actually go into the church, into culture, into state, and take it over in order to fundamentally change people's consciences. Now, do you remember the quote of Obama? He wanted to fundamentally change America. This is it. We are seeing that everywhere today. These young kids fired up for socialism have no idea what it means, Loudon says. Loudon breaks down examples for his listeners, citing critical race theory, which employs the Marxist method of simply criticizing everything. If you want to have a new society, you have to destroy people's confidence in the old, he explains. In order to do this, Marxist organizations have to criticize religion and tear down respect for religion. They have to criticize the government, military, and other construct of society. He explains how President Donald Trump was a classic example of this, with so much criticism pointed at him as opposed to other Republican presidents simply because Trump was more of a threat. This method of criticizing everything is meant to tear down everything and tear down respect for everything. This in turn produces children who don't believe in anything and don't believe in any system or authority. They believe in nothing and they're suckers for everything, Loudon says. Critical race theory is just applying this Marxist ideology to race. In his book, Simpson reveals the people who gave Marxists this method and ties current events together clearly, showing how the end goal is to have people lose confidence in the existing structures of their society in order to lay the groundwork for revolution and creating a new society. Now, like I said earlier in the show, we are in a revolution. There it is, folks. In this episode, Loudon also provides some practical examples of how communists have tried to implement these strategies in smaller areas in the United States like New York City and how many of these tactics are playing out today. He gives examples of border crisis where the southern border is being overwhelmed and could eventually collapse American society. All of this is deliberate. All of this is a plan. All of this is a scheme. he says. People may see all these groups and chaos and policies that will alter and destroy our society, but the communists are counting on us not recognizing that we're an integral whole and that revolution is designed to bring America to its knees and destroy it. You cannot have communist paradise on earth until you destroy Western civilization, especially the United States, he explains. Loudon provides insight into why true communists doesn't blame communism for its past failures. Instead, they blame the failures of their history on the United States. They believe that if they can destroy the United States, then their paradise of communism may be able to succeed. Simpson also gives context for the world leaders of the communist movement today, pointing out that the deep importance of Russia, Putin and his cronies as an integral and leading part of the world revolutionary movement. Loudon describes the book as one of the best books I have seen in a very long time that lays out the threat we are facing in a very simple manner, promising that anyone who reads it will come away enlightened and encouraging Americans to educate themselves on this crucial issue in order to save their culture and their country. So if you want to read a great book, it's called Who is Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left by James Simpson. Get it. It is a good one. And that is where we sit right at the moment. I have one more audio here, and it's on Biden's infrastructure bill. Get a load of this one. There's two more, actually.
So Biden's infrastructure bill is winding its way through the Senate. A lot going on. You may have missed this, but you should know it is moving without meaningful Republican opposition. That means, unless something changes very soon, it will become law. Here's what you should know about that bill. It's 2,700 pages long. It will cost more than $1 trillion. It will not pay for itself, despite what they told you. And much of it has nothing whatsoever to do with infrastructure, meaning fixing our crumbling roads and bridges and airports and train stations and all the rest that embarrasses America. Instead, this bill will make science denial official. It will enshrine gender identity in federal law. It would allow the government to track your driving. Why? So they can charge you a fee for every mile you go. This in addition to the gas tax. And scariest of all, this bill requires all new vehicles in the United States to come with monitoring technology, such as eye scanners or breathalyzers. And that means that going forward, you will need the express permission of your federal overlords before you start your car in the morning, because it's their car now. As of tonight, 20 Republican senators appear to support this lunacy. The final vote is this weekend, so if you have views about this, you might want to let them know right away. They assume you're not paying attention, so they can do whatever they want to you. And in this case, they are. Here are the 17 Republicans who have already voted to move this bill forward, listed in alphabetical order. Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Kevin Cramer, Mike Crapo, Lindsey Graham, of course, Chuck Grassley, John Hoeven, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Jim Risch, Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, and Todd Young. Now, a few of these people plan to retire soon, thank heaven, but most of them intend to get reelected at some point. And it might be good if voters made that impossible.
It might be very good if voters made that impossible. It's like I've been saying for quite a while now, we need to get rid of all Democrats, all of them. And we need to get rid of most of the Republicans, the rhinos especially. People who are fighting for this nation, and there are very, very few in our nation, in our nation's capital today, that are Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan. There is a whole list of the ones that need to stay. But the ones that are fighting against this nation are the rhino Republicans who will vote for the with the Democrats almost every time they can. And I'm going to end this show on a note about coronavirus. The coronavirus, folks, is fake. And this is Dr. Jane Ruby. And she is on the radio show that I had mentioned earlier. I'm trying to find it right now, but it's Canada. And the things that we have to start realizing here, folks, is that the people who are fighting for us are being made into the people who are the criminals of this nation. And we have to stop this. Here is this thing with Dr. Jane Ruby.
Joining us now is Dr. Jane Ruby. She's a medical expert, Stu Peters Show contributor. So, Dr. Jane Ruby, does this virus even exist?
Okay. Stu Peters is who I was thinking about. I had had a audio from him last week on this show. But Stu Peters out of Canada. Listen to this one.
Joining us now is Dr. Jane Ruby. She's a medical expert, Stu Peters Show contributor. So, Dr. Jane Ruby, does this virus even exist?
Stu, let's take a closer look at what's happening here. According to a lot of experts and a lot of government admissions across the globe, there is no virus other than a digital theoretical abstraction made on a computer from a genomic database. The virus, as we've been saying, has never been isolated, purified, sequenced, characterized, or proven to exist, right? I want to get into why this is coming to the forefront. As you mentioned, thousands of FOIA requests went out unbeknown to some of us late last year, early this year, and the results are coming in, and governments are admitting as we go here that this doesn't exist. Now, let me begin with a little bit of education. People have written to me and said, Dr. Jane, are you saying that, you know, I wasn't sick last year? I mean, come on, look, there was a flu last year. But when we talk about SARS-CoV-2 and the characterization of it as something incredibly dangerous that justifies losing your businesses, damaging and hurting your children, just causing death and destruction across the planet, we better damn well have something that we can put our hands on. So we look to pre-existing standards, one of which is the Koch postulates. Four things are required before you know you have a virus. The first thing is that the microorganism should be identified in people who are affected with the illness, but it should not be identified in people that don't show any symptoms of the illness. The second postulate is that it has to be isolated from a diseased individual and then be able to multiply it in culture, okay, to show its replicability. The third part of Koch's postulates includes that when you introduce the organism that you've isolated into a healthy person, that person must cause disease. Otherwise, it's inoculated. The fourth postulate is the microorganism must then be re-isolated from the experimental host and found to be identical to the original microorganism. These are important because this has never been done with this virus. Let me just share some other information and facts. And I'm going to provide you with a lot of links to documentation for your website that buttresses everything I'm about to tell you.
All right, good. We'll put it all at StuPeters.tv. Everything?
Okay, and that was on Stu Peters' show at StuPeters.tv. And if you want to hear the whole thing, I don't have time left to finish that up, but that is as far as I got. I only recorded 2 minutes and 43 seconds of that one, but it goes on for about another 40 minutes or so. But it is a very compelling argument on what COVID really is. COVID really is just a manufactured thing. It is not a virus. And when it comes to what is the size of it, it's so much smaller than the weave of any mask that you see out on the street. None of those masks are going to help. It's like I had said before, it's like trying to stop a windstorm with a chain link fence. It just will not happen. Some of the sand that's blowing will get stopped, but 99% of it's going to go right on through. It's like that one thing that I had talked about earlier in the day when I first started with Pastor Smotherman. He talked to this person who was wearing a mask. He says, with the mask on, he says, do you smell the food? And, of course, the kid says, yes. The masks are not working. If you can smell the food, they're not working. Plain and simple. If you've got a bunch of people who are working on making you mask up again, locking you down again, then they are not following science, and it doesn't matter what the heck they say about it. They are not following science, and if they don't follow science, they are not following the way it should be. We will be back next week. Tomorrow, I will have my next update for the week, starting on tomorrow, and I'll go through Friday on them. Tomorrow's update, I've already got written. I will get that done in a couple of minutes as soon as I get off the show. But we will be right back after our weekly break, and we'll be back next Monday for our next show. God bless you all. God bless America, and we shall not be ruled. Have a great week.
God bless you all.